lie so much that when you tell the truth, no one believes the shit you speaking. Exaggerated tales start leaking out your inner mind. The same line you've been using on these different women. Dirty snakes spitting out cold-hearted venom. Hoes fronting like they virgin cause they pussy.
Yeah, buddy. 8-Ball and MJG. I bet you didn't see that coming. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, and you guys are in luck. Michael is in studio with me today.
Hi everyone.
All right, and we have a few things to talk about. The biggest thing is the interview last night, or the Zoom meeting with Brian Renfro and the folks over at Next Generation Letter Carriers. I got a text message around 4 in the afternoon Pacific time saying, hey man, we're going to have the Zoom with Brian Renfro. You should get on. And he sent me the link, and dude, did that ever blow up?
Well, and then you sent it to me 5 minutes before this.
Yeah, exactly. Because, dude, I'll be honest. At first, I thought that it was going to be this small little meeting, and like, I'm going to get to talk to Brian Renfro. What I did not realize is that they have pretty good reach, and they sent that out, and then it spread like wildfire. And so the meeting was capped at 300 people. Well, first it was capped at 100, and then Capone had to go and upgrade his Zoom membership to up it to 300, and it was full immediately. Like when you first tried to get on, what happened?
I couldn't get on.
Yeah, it was full.
Yeah,
dude, and it stayed full. And as people would drop out, more people would come in, and man, the demand is there for this kind of content, and it was enthralling. So that's one of our topics today. We'll probably talk about that. Well, we're going to talk about that second. And then we're also going to touch on what is going on with the Trump administration and what our concerns are, what, you know, how we interpret what's happening. You should really consult with experts on this, but people have asked what my opinion is, and so we'll talk about it here. But first, I got to tell you guys about a text exchange that I just had with the goodest, oldest boy. So the reason that I reached out to him is because we've talked about this on Classes of Male, that at the last general membership meeting, there were 4 appeals to the branch's decision to rerun our election. And so the branch secretary read those appeals, and then according to the election rules, those appeals get packaged up along with their evidence, and they get sent to the National Committee on Appeals. And along with that is the branch's reply to those appeals. Now, picture in your head what the branch's reply might look like, how the branch would reply to these 4 appeals, because the branch has just made its decision. Now these people are appealing the branch's decision. So what would the branch's appeal look like? Well, I certainly have an idea in my head of what it would look like, and that's why I was really shocked when our president said that he was going to write the branch's reply. And I'm like, dude, I think the branch should make that decision. And he says, no, I'm the president. I speak for the branch. So.
And that's not what it says in the Constitution, right?
No, it does. Well, in the election rules, the branch, right. Mm-hmm. And so, like, reasonably, the branch should vote and decide mm-hmm. who it wants to speak for it. But this is what we're up against. So I wrote this text message to the goodest, oldest boy, our branch secretary. At the February general meeting, you read 4 appeals into the record that were seeking to overturn the decision of the branch regarding our election. Pursuant to the election rules, 21.43, the branch has 20 days to file a written reply to the appeals. At the meeting, I asked, redacted, who would write that response, the president, and he said he would do it. I objected, stating that the branch should decide for itself, and he overruled me. I'm the president. I speak for the branch. The branch's reply needs to be included in what you sent to the Committee on Appeals, 21.44. Has he submitted it to you? There are only a few days left to get it in. And he writes back to me, the goodest oldest boy responds, the appeals and the branch reply has been sent to the Committee on Appeals. By the way, the branch appeal is just a chronological review as to what has occurred from the beginning. No judgment one way or the other. Michael, when you're picturing how the branch would reply to these 4 appeals, is that what you thought the reply would be? Just a chronological list?
No, because here's the thing. The 4 appeals is only for Paul's, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the four appeals is all just on one point of view.
Right.
And then they got no appeals from nobody else's point of view. How is that?
Yeah. How impartial? Is the Committee on Appeals going to make a decision when they only get one side of the story?
Mm-hmm.
If all the Committees on Appeals needed was a timeline of events, they wouldn't say the branch needs to write a reply. They would say, just along with that, send us a timeline of events. Like, this is so goddamn dishonest.
Yeah. And the reason that that is not fair and they're not impartial is that we won the vote in January 52-23.
Correct.
That means there was more of us that voted to have the re-election done.
Yeah.
And that means the four is the minority of the votes.
That is correct.
Okay? And they're the only ones being sent to the appeals committee.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Isn't that just perfectly in character with everything they've done so far, that they only want one side?
Yeah, only one side of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again.
So when our president writes up the
branch's reply,
that is only his side of story and nobody else's story.
Yeah, so we knew going into it, and this is why I felt like, you know, when we did our review of how we got railroaded at the branch meeting, that was one of the things I had the most issue with, was how he was going to write this reply, because I knew, like, he's not going to make cogent arguments on behalf of the branch. And now we see. Yeah, he just wrote out a timeline. So I write back. This doesn't seem like it's in the spirit of representing the branch's viewpoint on the appeal. Please send me a copy. And I give my email address. And the goodest oldest boy replies, the branch does not have a viewpoint, since some members feel one way and others feel a different way.
Okay, so, but the minority is the one who's actually sending the appeal.
Yeah, and so I replied to him, the branch voted to express its viewpoint at the January meeting, 52-23. Please send me a copy of what you think constitutes the branch's reply. And then he writes back telling me that I'm going to have to get it from the president himself. That because somehow, for whatever reason, the president can't send it to me.
Oh, the secretary.
Or the secretary, yeah. Secretary can't send it to me, even though he has a copy of it.
Yeah, because he had to send it.
Yeah, right. He had to send it off to National. So, dude, it just keeps going. You know, there's no honest interpretation of the election rules that a timeline would constitute the branch's reply.
So here's things. This is one of the episodes I was going to mention. This is that state newsletter. We have the few officers talk about how we lie on this podcast and so forth. Okay. And how everything that we say is a lie. But you know, the texting that you got is not a lie.
No, you're reading exactly what was written.
Word for word.
Yeah. Okay. That's right.
And all
where's the lie?
Yeah. All we're doing is that we're interpreting what the contract says or the Constitution says.
Right.
And what our officers are doing.
Yeah. Okay?
And so when we say the opinions of whatever, I believe that we are trying to follow the rules. They are not.
Dude, that's exactly right. Go read 21.4. Even cite the goddamn rules.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Who else does this?
Who else does what? What do you mean?
Breaks the rules whenever they feel like because they're the leader.
Oh, dude. I mean, you know, our national, Donald Trump,
and
we can get into that a little bit later.
I know. But I just want you to see it. They're acting just like him. Like they can do whatever
like the
they
rules
want.
Don't apply.
Because that, rules don't apply because I'm the power.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, dude, it's corrupt. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. It is corrupt. So anyway, that's that. That's that issue.
And then from your other podcast with the Branch 36, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, where the folks from New York came on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that got some good response.
Yeah, so, I didn't hear the Zoom until I listened to your podcast. From what I can hear is, seems like this is a problem nationwide.
Oh, without question.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so,
if anything, their branch is more corrupt than ours.
And so, if this is what's happening in nation, for our union, we have a problem.
Dude, and I got a phone call from a carrier in Colorado having similar problems. Again, with, like, you know, totally, the good old boys are completely gatekeeping, completely shutting people out. I got a carrier in Texas telling me the same story. Carrier in California who's talked to both of us. And it's systemic.
And this is not a union.
No. Dude.
Okay.
And so you see it in that Zoom last night with Next Generation Carriers, which we might as well talk about now.
Right.
So we get on this Zoom. It's jam-packed. Or I get on the Zoom from the beginning. Michael gets in not too long after that.
I got in before Brian Renfro got on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. So
on my second attempt, I got in.
Right on. Yep. And my buddy Trevor got in. Name check for Trevor. I know you're listening. And he kept posting pictures of Brian Renfro as Chucky. And dude, they were getting a ton of response. They were really funny. And he also has a knit Chucky that's like a crocheted or something. And he has a Twitter account where he posts those to Brian Renfro. And then Brian Renfro blocked him on X. And, oh, dude, it was good stuff. It was very funny. So, anyway. So, yeah, dude, this... Guys, I urge you to listen to that Zoom call.
You know what? Why don't you post it on your podcast?
Yeah, so in the description to this episode... Oh, I wound up... I didn't record it. I started recording it, and then I realized like there was no point because 100 other people were already recording it.
Ah, but they could have listened to yours.
Well, I mean, I can always have John Murphy send me the audio file. But frankly, if you're listening to this podcast, you should really just go and download Next Generation Carriers podcast with Brian Renfro. Okay. At least hear it from them.
People know where to go get it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they get the download numbers, and they deserve the credit because, mm-hmm. man, they really pulled something off with that. So yeah, they get Renfro on and they introduce him and he starts talking and he immediately goes on a filibuster.
Yeah, that's what, I don't know which carrier said that.
Yeah.
And I was just laughing because that's what he sounded like.
Yeah, exactly.
He just ran it for like 30 minutes. I think I fell asleep.
Dude, so I was watching on my laptop and it was in speaker view. And so like if two people were talking, both of their pictures would be up. If three people are talking, both of theirs would be up. And then after a while, if somebody hasn't talked in a while, their picture fades away. And I cannot tell you how many times it just went back to only Renfro on the screen because he would just go on and on. And, you know, credit where it's due. He was trying to give answers and some answers require context. And you know, and they were tough questions. They were good questions.
But I got to admit, though, some information that he did provide in the beginning was important.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he was talking about what's going on right. with the Trump really situation. Was important.
Yep.
And so it was important.
Right. And he answered questions that people have. Like, for example, one question that kept coming up is if we're just doing this, what is expedited arbitration? And well, so do you want to go
ahead? Let's just start with what he was talking about with the President Trump.
Yeah, go for it.
Because the way he explained it is that you know, when our Board of Governors, okay, well, Trump is trying to basically fire them, which is illegal. He has to have just cause or whatever.
Right. Federal employees all have these protections, including you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To eliminate the board member. But he's trying to eliminate all of them all at once. So what is the actual just cause? There is nothing.
In fairness, that was a report in the Washington Post that mm-hmm. he was going to issue an executive order or whatever and fire all of them. Mm-hmm. The White House denied that report. Right. And it hasn't happened.
Right.
So maybe not. Well, maybe he's not planning on doing that.
Well, because from what I can gather is that there is a lot of information that whoever actually tries to push that mm-hmm. has killed their political career, you know? And it's, so...
you'd like to think it would be unpopular with the American public.
Yeah, because post office is nonpartisan.
Right. Yeah. Okay?
So both the Republicans, independents, Democrats, it doesn't... Any political people or non-political, most of them favor the post office.
Sure. Okay? We get broad support across the aisle, mm-hmm. Republicans and Democrats. And carriers, you're all carriers, listeners, you know that in October of 2026, we're going to be busy as hell delivering all their ads, delivering the mail-in ballots. Like, we're a vital part of this political process. And then who loves getting the mail more than old people? And old people are the most politically active.
And things he mentioned is, you know, that we are a essential worker.
Sure.
And, you know, that we were out there delivering when it was the COVID, which obviously you know, Trump said that this was bogus, which he took the vaccine too. So which is kind of funny how he says it's bogus, yet he took the vaccine. But anyway, you know, here we are with essential workers, and this is how we were being treated. Okay.
Right.
You know, because... Some of the stuff that the President Renfro mentioned, and I was kind of half asleep because it was 30-minute filibuster.
Right.
Is that if Trump gets what he wants and then has Department of Commerce takes over, mm-hmm. and the guy who's just voted, raised his hands and got into the office, And
yeah, the newcomer secretary.
Yeah, Lutnick or whatever his name
Something
is.
Something like that.
And supposedly, this guy who just going to get in and start doing all this stuff, which doesn't make any sense. And, how you know, you got to learn how to do stuff before you do this stuff, right?
Okay.
But anyway, he would take over, the board is gone. And then from what the Brian Renfro said is that at that point, we're going to be they would change our post office slowly. You know, they'll eliminate this, eliminate that, and then being privatized and be run and contracted out to FedEx and UPS.
Yeah, so that was in a previous plan that was posted on the Department of Treasury or something in Trump's first term, that there was this plan to like semi-privatize the post office, where in some areas people could come in and bid for the right to put stuff in the mailbox, you know, in addition to just us. And other things might be contracted out. And guys, this is my concern. We are provided for in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7, Congress shall provide for the post office and the post roads, or something like that. But it doesn't say how that provision is supposed to happen. And it's very clearly the responsibility of Congress, not the responsibility of the president. But we have two problems here. We have, one, a president who isn't terribly interested in what the Constitution says, and we have a Congress who doesn't seem terribly interested in keeping executive power in check. And so both of those things, that they give me pause for concern.
Yeah, yeah, because there's a lot of carriers that I talk to. They're like, well, you know, they've been saying this for 20, 30, 40 years about privatizing the post office. It's never going to happen. But this time, the situation, I think, is different.
I think it's different this time, too.
Yeah, because we have a president who don't give a shit about
keeping the lock together. So Renfro was asked during the meeting, should carriers be concerned? If you're a carrier with less than 6 years in, you're not vested yet, should you be concerned?
He said everybody should be concerned.
That's exactly
and
right.
And that's not just the carriers.
Yeah.
Clerks, managers, anybody who works for the Postal Service should be concerned.
Right. And so this is the issue. So look, guys, this is my plea to you, my request. President Renfro is going to call for a day of action. President Renfro is going to ask you to call your congressperson, to call your senator. And whatever you might think of President Renfro, do those things.
Because it's his job too, by the
way. Yeah, right. His job is on the line too. Yeah, that's exactly right. And however anti-post office the current administration might be, they're even more anti-union.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, getting Renfro out, I mean, dude,
on this subject, we all have to work together.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, right, don't commit in logic. There's a thing called the genetic fallacy, where you say that something is wrong just because of who said it. And the fact is, if Renfro is saying, look, we got to step up and take action to save the post office, who cares that Renfro said it? It's correct. And we need to do that. So that was the first part of the Zoom. Right. And again,
he said there is no actual date that we're going to do this yet, but he will inform us more. And it'll probably most likely on a Sunday.
Yeah, that would be nice. I've heard thrown around like the 23rd, then the 25th of March. I don't know. Whatever it is, it should be distributed. It should be publicized when it's going to be.
I personally think we need to do this like as soon as possible.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, but there has to be, like for our branch to do it, it's got to come up as a resolution or a motion at the meeting. And I definitely plan to make that motion, or one of us, you know, should make that motion, that we are going to take part in this day of action and that we're going to pick it. So, you know, yet another reason to come out to the next branch meeting. Please, if you're in Las Vegas, March 5th, 7 p.m. at the Union Hall, please come out. All right. And then wherever you are, try to go to your branch meeting, because there's going to be similar issues brought up there. And if they're not brought up, you bring them up. Okay. So that was the first part of the meeting. Then we get into some of the tougher questions. People are writing questions in the chat in Zoom, and it was impossible to keep up with. Like, the whole time, there's like literally 500 new messages that I haven't read. And, oh, dude, it was intense.
Flying through so fast. Yeah, there was no way you could read them all.
No, there was no way. And so they're doing the best they can. The host, John Murphy, Capone, I forget the third guy's name. But they're doing the best they can to get these questions asked. And John Murphy asked the best damn question. To me, it was the highlight of the entire Zoom.
The best part was when Brian referred that he's going to say something to John Murphy as, like, I'm going to get you.
Yeah,
and John Murphy and literally fired back.
Yeah,
and
dude. It was awesome. Okay. So John Murphy says, I forget exactly how he worded the question, but he asked Renfro about the tentative agreement, about the concessions in the tentative agreement. And yeah, Renfro fires back. He's like, well, you know, I challenge the premise of your question. I don't think there are any concessions in the tentative agreement. What are you talking about? And dude, John Murphy knocked it out of the park. Because this guy is a labor guy. He's a labor historian. He's part of the labor movement. And he brought up the unlimited overtime, that we now can work past 12 hours. And Renfro's trying to say, like, that's not a concession. That now, we now have the right to refuse at 12 hours, and we never had that before. But John Murphy says, look, the labor movement has always been about 8 hours work for, you know, a fair day's work.
8 hours of work.
8 hours work.
Eight hours of recreation. Right. And 8 hours of sleep.
Right, exactly. Arrest. And this work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this provision in our contract throws that completely out of whack. Like, we should be working toward the goal of an 8 hour workday and a living wage on an 8 hour day. And instead, he's giving us a poverty wage where we can now work 16 hours a day if we want to, in order to try to live on this poverty wage. Like, that's the solution. And dude, and the best point he brought up was, if you've got two carriers who work 12 hours in a day, each of those carriers works 4 hours of overtime. That's 8 hours of additional work. That's another person who could have a job.
Yep.
Dude, John. Oh, you killed it.
Isn't this something that we always talk about, that 271G we talked about?
Yeah, it's the right. Same thing. Yeah, making more routes makes more jobs. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And so, dude, yeah, so that was fantastic. And Renfro, of course, did not have a good answer for that.
And you know, funny thing about this is John Murphy's only been working for the Postal Service for 3 years.
Yeah, but he knows the labor movement. Mm-hmm. That's his, the beauty of, that's why I love having him on Class as a Man.
Another thing he fought was the office time.
Right, okay? Yeah, go ahead.
And where he's saying that, hey, you know, they're having to set up office time. You're making us the office time to be shorter because of you took some time out. Well, you need to file a grievance.
Right.
And it's like, no, you made it hard for us to file that grievance.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, because Renfro used his standard line that it only applies during route inspections.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because he's so out of touch with what's happening on the workroom floor that he doesn't know that this is being used as a cudgel to beat up carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And Murphy brought that up. And, you know, he also brought, or whoever was asking the question.
Well, no,
John, might have been Capone. Yeah.
John Murphy still also brought up by heat in Florida.
Yeah.
That it would be better to spend more time in the office to get things prepared
to
deliver the mail faster out in the street.
Yeah, and he used the line that Corey uses, Corey Walton, which is like, I never seen anybody die of heat in the office, you know, and or get attacked by a dog in the office, or all that stuff.
Until management decides to turn the air conditioning off.
Yeah, right, which they have done in order to get people out of the office.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was cool. I was able to get a couple of my own questions in by going around the Zoom chat, and I texted directly to John Murphy. And so credit to him for that, because like one of my questions was initially, like, what's Renfro doing to try to get the pulse of the average carrier? And they sent out that survey, but it was after the tentative agreement. And dude, honestly, I don't even remember what his answer was. Do you remember?
Okay. Ask that question again.
It was like, what's he doing to keep in touch with what's happening on the workroom floor? You know, because like after the tentative agreement was shot down, they sent out that text message survey asking people what they think. But at that point, it's too late. You know, so what does he do to try to understand what's happening on the workroom floor?
You know, I missed that.
I don't remember. Whatever the answer was, it was not satisfying.
Yeah.
So when you go and listen to that podcast episode,
it was over 3 hours long.
Dude, and it was fairly early that question got asked.
Listening to Brian Renfro was like listening to some professor who you couldn't, you know, hard time listening to, because they're so boring.
Yeah,
it was hard to keep awake.
It was. Yeah. He's not a very, he's a clear speaker, but not a very dynamic speaker.
Right.
So,
So we'll go back to John Murphy.
Yeah, please.
One of the best thing about it is that when hard questions were being asked, like John Murphy and a few others.
Yeah.
When the hard questions were being asked, his face turned completely red.
Oh, Renfro's face?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, man.
I'm sure he doesn't like getting grilled. Nobody would.
But he said that he's willing to do all these podcasts. Yes, so we'll
dude,
see.
He signed up for it.
Yeah, we'll see if he'll do more.
Yeah. So later on in the podcast, another question that I texted to John Murphy that wound up getting asked was, let me preface this, because I listened to another podcast, Penn's Sunday School. It's hosted by Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller. And one of the things that he talks about is he gets articles written about him all the time. And he'll read these articles and there's factual inaccuracies in the article. And he says, man, I know I told him the right thing, and yet they got all these mistakes in the article. And then I go on and I read other parts of the paper, and I'm like, well, at least they get everything else right. But it's really because you don't have the information to know everything else they're fucking up. And that happened in this Zoom with Renfro because I was personally involved in something that he lied about. So John Murphy asked the question, can you tell us what the starting point was for negotiations? Now, I want to take you back to the rap session here in Vegas. Michael, you were there too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Michael remembers this. This mm-hmm. is not just me, you know, hallucinating. People were asking Renfro about the economic package. Of course, it's like the top thing on everybody's mind. And this is back in like January or something of last year. And so he holds out his hands, one on one side, one on the other. And he says, well, you know, they start over here and we start over there and we've been negotiating. And then he starts moving his one hand, like his left hand closer to his right. And he's like, and we pretty much stayed here and they keep getting closer and closer to where we are. And we're real close together now. And, you know, basically that it's really close to our number is what we've settled on. So now that we've seen the tentative agreement, dude, where the fuck did we start if we ended at 1.3?
Well, he said for the wages, it started where it was going to cost the post office about $17 billion.
Right, exactly. So Murphy asked him that question. Mm-hmm. Where did we start?
Yeah.
And he said, and dude, first he says the bullshit thing. Well, I've been really clear about this from the beginning. The fuck you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then he says it was $30 an hour starting wage. It was everybody on table one and it was no CCAs. Mm-hmm. And that was the starting point. And maybe that's true. And he said, you know, but we got to look at these numbers and that would cost the post office like $17 billion.
That was with the wage increase.
Yeah, with the wage increase. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a 9% wage increase across the board or something like that. Yeah. Or maybe it was smaller than 9%.
No, I think it's about 9.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah. Right. So this is a substantial package. And he said it would cost the post office about $17 billion. And then the post office comes back with their offer and it's like $2
billion. No, their offer was like he said it was around like $9 billion. And then they negotiated, and then it finally went down to
a $4.5 billion or something like that. No. I don't remember what the exact number was.
He said it was like $1.8 billion.
Yeah, whatever it was, okay. Right? We wound up very, very low, like very far from the $17 billion
that
had initially been proposed by us. And so that means.
So who won on that fight?
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Clearly, the post office won that fight.
When he was holding his arms out and saying, you know, we're moving closer and closer, he was moving his wrong arm. Mm-hmm. It was us moving closer and closer to the post office's position. Mm-hmm. And what pisses me off about that is, it pisses me off that he failed in this negotiation, but he stood up there and absolutely fucking lied about how the negotiation was going. It was a complete misrepresentation of what was happening. This fucking guy.
So on the way to Alan's house, I was listening to Firmator Arbitration with Charlie Miller on.
Right, we're recording this on Sunday, whatever, the 22nd or 23rd, something like that.
I gotta call my sister.
Oh, it is the 23rd.
It's her birthday.
Yeah. You go. February 23rd.
Thanks for reminding.
Yeah, no problem.
But anyway, Charlie Miller basically said the negotiations start in February of 2022.
Right. So now we're at the 2 year mark when negotiations open.
3 year mark. We're at 3 year
mark. Nah, that can't be.
It had to be two years. February of 2022. And then for first 4 months of the negotiation, they could not find Brian Renfro.
Yeah, Renfro was AWOL. Yeah. I really think it was only 2 years. But either way, it's been a long time.
The actual negotiations took about 2 years. But the starting negotiation, which was before the contract ended.
Yeah, I think that's what brings it back to February, because the contract ended in like March or May or something. Regardless, the moral of the story is that Renfro was AWOL from the beginning of this.
Yeah.
And you know, that brings me to something that was sent to me by my buddy Trevor, which I think he got it off of Reddit. And I want to read it to you guys. Okay, so this comes from... I can't tell where this came from because it's just a screenshot. But it looks like, based on the formatting, that it came from Reddit, somebody named Counselor Ugg Lee. And he writes this. I understand the need to ask this question and that he will never admit to it. But the truth is pretty simple. The delay helped USPS and Renfro. For USPS, it pushed USPS's actual labor costs down the line so DeJoy could report a profitable quarter. They didn't have to report what would become our back pay on the books yet, so that artificially lowered what the labor cost line item appeared to be on USPS's financial report. And then there's a link to the report. Because as we all know, Post Office posted a profit this quarter. And it looks like this is going to be DeJoy's last quarter. And so he gets to say, oh, look, I turned the Post Office around. We went from losing $17 billion up to now making a profit. So I think this guy, whoever is Counselor-Ugg-Lee, this dude's right on the money. And then here's how it benefits Renfro. It gave him the opportunity to display negotiated raises as if they were 20% increases across the board because he included prior steps. Without the long delay, you couldn't include as many steps into his TA summary. He thought we were all dumb enough to eat that shit up. He was wrong. Dude, that's true too, because the longer delay made for bigger back pay. It made for that. You guys remember that bullshit part chart he put out that included step increases, and yeah, that made for more step increases.
Well, for anyone, we did some math, and I believe the back pay that we would have missed was around like $1,200 or $1,500. In two years? That means you only got a $700 a year.
Yeah, whatever
raise?
Your back pay is, that shows you how small that this raise is going to be. And then, dude, he's Renfro said on this Zoom call that he doesn't expect us to do much better in arbitration. Like, he said that.
Here's where I look at this, okay? You know, Brian Renfro is afraid to lose his job because of what's going on with Trump's administration and so forth, right?
Yeah.
He will also be afraid to lose his job because if he doesn't get the contract, even through the arbitration, he will be not voted in.
It's hard for me to imagine a scenario where he saves his job at this point.
He can still do it because if he pulls the shit out of his ass and say, hey, we got you a 20% increase. Everybody's making over $100,000 a year. I can guarantee if you get something like that,
sure.
I can guarantee that and, you know, some people will change their mind.
What does DeJoy have to lose? He's on his way out the door.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure that guy would love nothing more than to give a gift to the workers of the world.
Actually, he don't care about the workers of the world.
No, I know. That's sarcasm.
Yeah.
dude. All right. So that was my text exchange with the goodest oldest boy. We talked a little bit about our concerns about what the Trump administration is doing. It's obviously not constitutional. I'm no constitutional lawyer, but the Constitution seems pretty clear on this point. The question is, will it matter?
The Board of Governors is getting their own lawyer.
Yeah, that is correct. That's confirmed.
Trump's administration.
Right.
Okay. All the unions, ours, APW, even NAPS, are getting own lawyers to fight the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when we got everybody involved getting lawyers, something is up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Again, like Renfro said, and he's right, we have reason to be concerned. Yeah.
When Trump says, oh, no, this is not what we're doing. Okay, then why are these people getting lawyers?
Because they have reason to be concerned.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
And so you have this situation where the law that is written by Congress is clear. And you have judges who are supposed to rule on that law and issue their orders. And now we have to hope that they're going to abide by the law. And Michael, it reminds me very much of what happened to us last month at our union meeting, where we got railroaded. Article 10 was in no way followed. The procedures were not correct. No due process was given. And that's where the branch itself is supposed to stand up.
With the illegal charge, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and the charge itself was illegal. Uh-huh. Dude, great point. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's where the branch is supposed to stand up, much like the judiciary might stand up and say, no, this is not right. And they didn't.
Yeah. Again, just a reminder.
Yeah.
We have freedom of speech, right?
Yeah.
At least I know of.
Yeah.
Isn't that, post office created from freedom of speech?
Kind of. It was certainly intended to aid in the freedom of speech.
Exactly.
One of these days, I'm going to do a postal history. Mm-hmm. There's a cool book called like How the Post Office Built America. And one of the early things was that newspapers and magazines were really, really cheap to send because we wanted people to be informed and literate. And then it was subsidized by advertisers that if you wanted to advertise through the mail, it cost a fortune. And now we got like the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. Advertising is dirt ass cheap.
Mm-hmm. So it, but it was mainly created from freedom of speech
that
our branch was trying to take that away from us.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry. I'm just still bitter about that.
Yeah, understandable. Okay. I am bitter about it.
Somebody's telling me that you don't have rights because you're doing a podcast.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So we've covered the things we need to cover. We're over a half hour, so I think we're good here. Guys, one last thing. I get emails now more than I've ever gotten saying, like, keep fighting the good fight. We're rooting for you. I got one yesterday from a dude who sent a Muslim prayer to me, and dude, that really was cool as hell. I don't know if I've ever had that happen before. Thank you guys for all that stuff, for reaching out. classes@mail@gmail.com. It means the world to me and Michael too. Dude, people are writing and saying how much they love having you on the show, and they're right. You're great on the show because you bring that knowledge that I don't have, and it's good stuff.
Well, it's better to have two edges than one, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially when one of them is mine. So, all right. So with that, guys, thank you very much for listening, and I will send you guys out with more 8-Ball and MJG, and I will catch you all next time. Stop lying. Stop telling the truth. Stop lying. Stop exaggerating. Stop lying. Start telling the truth.